I feel I must clear something up before going any further. I was asked today if I were the father of Paul Dunn. I was so shocked that I told the person that he had it backward and that actually he was my father. While not related, we share the closest bonds of brotherhood in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you consider these words of the Savior as he spoke to the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well? Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. What greater way to demonstrate the saving, healing principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ than to relate them to life-sustaining water? Water that is essential for every human being in order to live. The Savior was telling the woman that if she drank from her well, she would thirst again. But if she drank from his well, partook of the principles which he taught, that she would never thirst again, but that her soul would be nourished and she would have eternal life. We live in a complex and challenging world. Young and old seem to be going to and fro, and in their own way, drinking from different wells, searching for that water which will begin to feed their souls, that will quench some inner thirst. To youth who associate themselves with various causes, some popular, many designed to accomplish much good, and a few militant. To the adult who can find no satisfaction in his vocation, and perhaps frustration in his marriage and emptiness in his life. To the militant who spends his life bitterly denouncing what he is against, but never quite certain what he is for. To the person who turns to drugs, perhaps even attempting to equate it with a spiritual experience, and then realizing that for every high, there is some kind of dismal low. Perhaps these people and many others seize upon special issues and act unpredictably more from an inner need to satisfy a yearning soul than because of the face value of that in which they are involved, however worthy it may be. Even in Russia, where its people have drunken at the well of socialist morality for 50 years, there is an indication of a desire of something more nourishing. In studying religion in Russia today, journalist Paul Wohl states that socialist morality has been accepted as the official yardstick of good behavior, but whether Soviet man is more harmonious than his predecessor is a moot question. A scientific outlook is there, says Wohl, but so is religion. Its comeback, he says, is a phenomenon which the ideologists of communism cannot explain, and about which they prefer to remain silent. He states that the move toward religion is primarily sparked by young people. The writer tells of a simple Russian woman who received the visit of her neighbor, a young engineer physicist. "I know you are a believer," said the engineer. "Can you tell me about God? The philosophy of dialectical materialism does not satisfy me. I would like to know the viewpoint of believers." It is interesting to me to note that there is something fundamental and basic in the makeup of man that will sooner or later turn him to his Creator, provided he does not completely strangle this inclination through evil works or through chronic unbelief, and provided that he doesn't condition himself to settle for less by insisting that what he doesn't know or hasn't experienced just isn't so. Speaking of the Savior, the prophet Alma says, "Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, Repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, Come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Behold, I say unto you, that the good shepherd doth call you, Yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And after Alma teaches the people those things relative to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they must know, and that which they must do in order to gain eternal life, he then says, And now I, Alma, do command you in the language of him who hath commanded me, that ye observe to do the words which I have spoken unto you. I speak by way of command unto you that belong to the church, and unto those who do not belong to the church, I speak by way of invitation, saying, Come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye also may be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life. As this last scripture indicates, it is possible for a person to have the fruit of the tree of salvation readily available to him, but to no avail if he does not partake. I am reminded of two young men who came to see me some months ago. They had been recommended by their priesthood leaders, and from the moment they stepped into the office, they began in a very sincere way questioning certain doctrines and teachings and procedures of the church. Their attitude, however, was not antagonistic, as they were sincerely looking for answers. I asked them finally if perhaps the questions they were asking represented the symptoms of the problem and not the cause. Wasn't their real question whether or not this church is true, whether or not it is actually the church of Jesus Christ, and whether or not it is led by divine revelation? The young men agreed that perhaps if they were sure of these answers, then the other answers that came to their hearts, they might be able to take care of themselves. I asked them if they were willing to participate in an experiment to determine in their own minds if the church was true. They agreed to such an experiment. One of them, who appeared to be athletically inclined, so I turned to him and asked, If you wanted to learn about the chemical properties of water, would you go to the local sports stadium and run four laps around the track? He said, Of course not. And when I said why, he said, Because they're not related. We then turned to John chapter 7 and read, If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If we are going to experiment with the things of Christ, then we're going to have to put these things to a spiritual test, a test that the Savior himself has outlined for all those who wish to know, a test of doing. I asked them if they read the scriptures, and they said no. I asked them if they prayed, and they said not often. I asked them if they kept the word of wisdom, and they said occasionally. I asked them if they went to church, and they said they'd stopped. I then asked if they'd be interested in a 3-month experiment. They said they'd try, but were not anxious to commit themselves until they found out what I had in mind. During the next 3 months, will you attend all your church meetings and listen carefully to what is being said, even taking notes of the principal points being made by the teachers and how they might apply to your life? They thought for a minute and said they would. During the next 3 months, will you reinstitute in your personal life prayer, night and morning, thanking God for the blessings you enjoy and asking him to help you to know if the church is true and if the things you are doing are meaningful to your life? One of these young men, who considered himself an agnostic, balked at this, but then finally agreed to do it on the basis that for the sake of the experiment, he would accept the premise that there is a God and appeal to this God for the light and knowledge which he was seeking. I asked them if in the next 3 months they would refrain from drinking, smoking, and drugs, and although this created some anxiety, they resolved to do it. I then asked that if in the next 3 months they would keep themselves morally clean and in harmony with the principles of virtue which the Savior taught. They said they would. And then finally, I suggested that on their own would they establish a schedule for the next 3 months to read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover, a few pages each day with a prayer at each reading that the Lord will bless them to know if the book is true and is actually from Him. They agreed. Anticipating what may happen, I said, "Now, if you feel disposed to tell some of your friends about this, their first comment's going to be, 'Boy, has Brother Dunn snowed you?' You may even feel that way during this experiment, but don't let it keep you from doing what you have agreed to do. If you think that might be a problem, then keep it in the back of your mind and go ahead and honestly experiment and let this 3-month experience speak for itself." I added that if things go properly, you'll notice some byproducts, such as a growing awareness and concern for your fellow men, and greater appreciation and consideration for other people. They accepted the challenge, rather, and left. Of course, what was really hoped for was the experience that every member has a right to enjoy, and everyone else has a right to receive, and that is the knowledge of a personal testimony. I think Brigham Young described it best when he said, "There is no other experience known to mortal man that can be compared with a testimony or witness of the Holy Ghost. It is as powerful as a two-edged sword and burns in the breast of a man like a consuming fire. It destroys fear and doubt, leaving in their stead absolute, unqualified, and incontrovertible knowledge that a principle or thing is true." This same testimony has sustained saints to the present day and will be a lamp to their path forever. And then he goes on to say, "The effect of this testimony reaches above and beyond all physical or earthly things and makes a relationship with God the Father a literal, pulsing fact. Every fiber of both body and spirit respond to the witness of that testimony, and the soul knows and lives the truth." Unquote. And so, to those who have tasted the water at many wells, only to find that the unquenching thirst of the soul drives them on in search of that which will bring peace and nourishment to the heart. To you, whoever you are, member or non-member, will you not come and drink from this well and taste and experiment and see if you have not found the waters of life where you can drink to your soul and thirst no more, but be full with the joy of the true knowledge of Jesus Christ and His teachings and the purpose of your own life? And to this invitation, I bear you my witness that I know God lives. I know He lives, and that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer and His Son. Joseph Smith saw what he said he saw, and we have a prophet of God sitting with us, presiding today. I bear you that witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.